Hi, everybody. My name is Dan Lukart, and thank you for joining me on this special podcast dealing with performance-enhancing drugs in jiu-jitsu. For those of you that might not know me, they call me Trumpet Dan on the internet forums, and I'm the head instructor at Brea Jiu-Jitsu. So a little bit of background on how I got involved in this whole thing is that Nick Grigoriadis from the Jiu-Jitsu Brotherhood came out with an article titled Performance-Enhancing Drugs in Jiu-Jitsu, which I originally interpreted as his advocating for performance-enhancing drugs in both recreational and competitive jiu-jitsu settings. I came out and said some things that were in opposition to the article, and he contacted me, wasn't too happy, and we arranged a debate on Open Mat Radio. I would recommend, before you listen further to this podcast, that you actually go ahead and read that article. Right now, it's on the main page of jiu-jitsu-brotherhood.com, but I'm sure that a search of the site, you know, for future dates, if you just search performance-enhancing drugs and jiu-jitsu, will turn the article right up. Keep in mind that this article was edited from its original form, so it's not the actual article that I was reacting to when I made my comments. So just keep that in mind as well. I want to start first dissecting some of his comments on one of his cognitive enhancers. In his cognitive enhancers section, he said that he's a huge fan of modafinil. And he said, quote, "I truly believe it's a wonder drug. I can state categorically that it has an immense positive effects on my cognition, memory, intelligence, motivation, and concentration. The practical applications of this for jiu-jitsu are far-reaching. When I'm using modafinil, I can drill techniques without losing focus for much longer periods, and I find that I'm far more likely to retain what I learn." So I wanted to talk a little bit about this drug and some of the consequences or potential consequences from its use. Modafinil was approved by the FDA in 1998 for treating narcolepsy. And it's kind of one of these interesting drugs where it was approved without the understanding of its mechanism of action. And that's a little bit unusual in the biotechnology field, because usually the FDA wants to know why the heck the drug is working. They generally just don't approve something if they don't know how it's working. But apparently this was an exception. And it gained some notoriety, I guess you could say, in certain subcultures for its ability to give increased concentration, focus, mental alertness. And it gained headway with like Wall Street traders, with writers, and in the study halls of major universities. And it wasn't just the fact that the drug seemed to work. It was the fact that it seemed to work without being habit forming. It was kind of understood that it left the dopamine receptors alone. That's why they figured it wasn't seeing the use to be addicted to it. So things like amphetamines, what they do is they block the cleanup of dopamine transporters, and they boost the output of dopamine at the same time. And the dopamine transporters are what take the dopamine out. Think of them like a garbage truck taking away your garbage. So with amphetamines, they're highly addictive because it's almost like there's nobody taking out the trash, but your trash output has doubled or tripled. The logic behind it not being addictive was that it left dopamine alone, and there was some other mysterious mechanism of action behind it. But as the drug was further studied, they figured out that it actually didn't leave the dopamine process alone. They found that modafinil blocks the reuptake of more than half the amount of dopamine the brain naturally releases. So what's happening is it's not taking out the dopamine that's being produced by the brain. And that conclusion there, I'll give you the actual study, and I'll give you the actual study names so you can look them up yourself, because there's lots of fascinating studies that kind of deal with all these performance-enhancing drugs. This particular study that made that conclusion was effects of modafinil on dopamine and dopamine transporters in the male human brain, clinical implications. And that study was done in 2009. So what this study kind of was concluded or interested in further research is that they were able to discern that the dopamine transporters were actually being inhibited in some way, which actually is just more dopamine in the brain. And this finding was actually replicated in a number of additional studies. This study is titled Action of Modafinil, Increased Motivation via the Dopamine Transmitter Inhibition and D1 Receptors? And this one was done in 2010, so a year later, this was a follow-up study. And a quote from the study is, quote, the data corroborate evidence that the behavioral effects of modafinil may be due to the DAT, which is the dopamine transporter inhibition. That's abbreviated DAT if you want to look that up on the internet. Furthermore, the dopamine D1 receptor may play a role in mediating modafinil-induced increases in motivation. So they're saying that the effects of modafinil are likely due to the dopamine transporter inhibition, which builds up the natural dopamine in your brain because it can't kind of dispense with the dopamine that's being produced. And how they actually learned this is quite fascinating. You should read this actual study with rats, actually. It's pretty interesting. And there's actually even more recent evidence, and it's titled, get ready for this one, Electrophysiological and Amperometric Evidence that Modafinil Blocks the Dopamine Uptake Transporter to Induce Behavioral Activation. Essentially, I could just sum up what they found in one quote. Modafinil increases releasing dopamine transmission via DAT inhibition. And what that means in English is that it increases dopamine via DAT inhibition, meaning it's taking the transporters offline. So there are three studies that show you that it's building up dopamine, and that's why it's a cognitive enhancer, because dopamine is a neurotransmitter which helps the brain communicate better and also can be habit-forming. So why is this important to understand the drug's mechanism of action? It's important because there are essentially zero studies that study modafinil in healthy adults and its safety profile in healthy adults and at the doses that you would take it for any sort of performance enhancement. So the fact that there are no studies about it does not mean we know nothing about the safety profile. Like in psychology, a lot of what we knew about psychology before fMRI and everything was extreme cases. For example, what happens when somebody has a pole through their head and can't use this part of their brain or has half of their brain removed? How do they react? And we study people like that. In that same vein, we can study what happens to people when they are producing excess dopamine and what type of negative consequences that this could have. Here's one. The study is titled Schizophrenia and More Dopamine, More D2 Receptors. And it's the relationship that excess dopamine has on schizophrenia and other schizophrenia-related type of diseases. Here's a quote from that study. It says, a combination of susceptibility genes and other factors contributes to schizophrenia, and the net result dysregulates the dopamine neurotransmission system, leading to a high release of dopamine, more D2 receptors, and the apparent predominance of monomer forms of D2. Now, this is getting a little technical. I actually did take the time to understand what's going on here. So, essentially, more dopamine, a high release of dopamine, which in schizophrenia patients is natural as a consequence of having schizophrenia, produces more D2 receptors. So, here in this study, what it's saying is that more dopamine on the brain produces more D2 receptors, and D2 receptors are linked to schizophrenia. So here's another study. Now, hang on, because before I go on, what I'm not saying is I'm not saying that taking this cognitive enhancer, modafinil, will get you schizophrenia. But when you study extremes of what happens when there's a habitual high dopamine level in the brain and seeing what consequences it has on the brain, you can begin to understand the side effect profile that it would have on the human brain. So anyways, here's another study from the, it is titled Association of Dopamine Transporter Reduction with Psychomotor Impairment in Meth Users. And it's kind of the similar vein. Let me read a quote from this study. It says, quote, "These results provide evidence that methamphetamine at doses taken by human abusers of the drug leads to dopamine transporter reduction that is associated with motor and cognitive impairment." And this is actually a very important study, because what I established with the first three studies is that modafinil's method mechanism of action is dopamine transporter reduction, or somehow inhibits the ability of the dopamine transporter to do its job. And here what we have is we have the consequence of what transporter reduction and what it can do to cognitive function. So one more time, let me read that one more time. "These results provide evidence that methamphetamine at doses taken by human abusers of the drug leads to dopamine transporter reduction that is associated with motor and cognitive impairment." So both dopamine transporter reduction, which is what modafinil does, is associated with motor and cognitive impairment. So it's kind of interesting, because a lot of people tend to get information for performance-enhancing drugs from underground sources. They tend to go on the internet, and particularly blogs and forums, to get their information. And I honestly think that while it appears that Nick may really know what he's talking about, he's actually talking about a topic that he's a white belt in, so to speak. You know, we get this impression that black belts are, we kind of see the institution of the black belt rather than the individual. And I think if you're not a white belt currently or a blue belt, you can remember back to those times where the black belt kind of seemed superhuman. And it's kind of interesting that you see in any niche activity kind of this weird combination of things. For example, in jiu-jitsu, we see a prevalence of the Gracie diet. You'd see a much higher prevalence of the Gracie diet in jiu-jitsu practitioners than you would in the general population. I think nobody would argue that. But really, the Gracie family are not dietitians. They're not research scientists. They know far less about nutrition than nutritionists do. It's kind of ludicrous to say that because they're good at jiu-jitsu, they know a lot about diet. And this could be true here, where Nick is talking about cognitive enhancers. And in my view, by calling them a wonder drug and saying how great they are for jiu-jitsu, is actually advocating for their use. And I think if you dig a little bit deeper, you'll find that the information that he's basing it on is actually not nearly as detailed as what I'm presenting to you now. And what I'm presenting to you now is just scratching the surface. It's such an infinitesimal amount of knowledge of what there is to know about this particular drug, the role of dopamine receptors, and the result of the role of dopamine transporters has on human health, cognition, and all of that. There are people who dedicate their lives and careers to just studying this. And I think they would all tell you that you're crazy if you intended to use a drug like this for performance-enhancing purposes. I have kind of a quote from Nick from the Journey podcast. This is episode 7, that kind of explains his reasoning further for using this. He says, quote, "I think it's one of those things. I hope it's one of those things where if you look after all the variables in your life, the taking modafinil a couple times a week is probably going to be no more detrimental to your health than drinking a couple cups of coffee per day or having a few beers after work." And Paul, the co-host, says, "Yeah, I think if you look at it like a vitamin for your brain, if I ate an entire bottle of vitamins, it's going to make me sick. But if I take them appropriately, it's probably going to make things a little better. There is appropriate use and misuse of any substance. If you are using it responsibly and sparingly with the idea that, quote, this might have a side effect that is unintended, that is the best way to go about it. And then after those quotes, Nick goes on to say how his supplier has been using, his supplier of modafinil has been using it for years, and says the brain is permanently altered, the structure of your brain after heavy use. And that was his justification for entering into a period of heavy use. And you can see here, there's a number of things that I just find absolutely crazy. And a lot of people would take this as I'm attacking Nick. I'm not attacking Nick at all. I actually think he's a really nice guy and a really genuine guy. But it's important to kind of understand the motivations. Where are they basing their research from? And he's basing his desire to get this, kind of enter into a modafinil heavy period where he takes it every day, to permanently alter the brain structure because his supplier told him to. There's an obvious, I'm assuming the supplier is a friend. Let's just take that into consideration. But there's an obvious conflict of interest between somebody who's supplying you the drugs and what they tell you that the drugs can do when you're doing it on a street level. And this assertion that it permanently modifies the brain structure is just completely just, you know, they call it bro science. It's just, hey bro, did you hear, you know, if you take it every day, you know, I feel like it permanently reduces. But that's not how scientific progress in medicine is even done. I thought that those were some interesting points, and I specifically relating to modafinil. And I would really encourage you to go and actually look at those studies, because there's just fascinating information out there. And to kind of summarize what I'm saying, about modafinil, impairs the ability of dopamine transporters to do their job. Impaired dopamine transporter function is linked to a cognitive impairment. I'm not saying that you'll get schizophrenia if you take this, but like everything, it could exist on a sliding scale. It's not black or white. You don't, you know, have schizophrenia and then not. There's probably a period of depreciating mental capacity before you reach that state. So, like everything in life, it's on a sliding scale.